Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints an angel song. Reading again from Romans chapter 2. We've read this before, but I believe it's certainly something that the church needs if we are to be revived and if we are to be made one, as Christ prayed for just before he died. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. We have some very plain statements there, but we don't understand them as we should. And as God tells us by the pen of the psalmist, he looked down from heaven to see if there were any, and there were none that understood. But as the Lord Jesus did on the day of resurrection, he can do with us today. He opened the understanding of the apostles, that they would understand the scriptures. Let's give thanks for the scriptures and pray that he will open our understanding to them together. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come through him who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is many other things beside prophet, priest, and king, whose name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We give thanks that he is all that is needed. And we pray, Lord Jesus, in thy name, that thou wilt be today our teacher, our prophet, that we might know the need of thee as a priest and want thee as king over us, that we will come to learn as we need to learn in obedience, in repentance that we have not obeyed, and then in faith that there is a new and living way. We pray that we might have that in the church, and the church might be revived in that, in doctrine and life, in such a way that it will again be a salt and a light in every nation, that we will have a church that leads the way and not a salt that hath lost its savor. We pray for these things through Christ for thy glory, for the good of our nation and the good of the world. We pray, Father, thou wilt not give us over, as we read in the earlier chapter, to a reprobate mind. And we seem, sadly, already to be there in so many ways, in our homes, in the nation, and sadly, in too much of the church, and too many falling away from the church. We pray that thou wilt bring a reversal of that there might be added to the church again daily such as should be saved, as the time when thy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, the sunshine, the rain that we have that many others do not have, the peace and freedom that we have that others do not have. And we pray, Father, that they might have that. We pray for those in sickness and injury that there might be healing, and for those that will not receive that blessing through Christ, that they might have the grace to bear under it, to learn through it, and especially to learn the brevity of life and the certainty of death, the need to prepare for it. We pray for our homes, and especially the broken homes, the children in them. We pray for soldiers, police. Pray for our schools as they have begun. that they will teach the truth and especially recognize thee as Creator and then also as Lawgiver, and they will know their need of a Redeemer, that this might again be known throughout our nation and throughout the world. We pray all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this chapter, moving on, we saw in the previous weeks that strong statement, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. There's many that do not come to realize that's true and repentance, not knowing. As I've said before, there are people who say, well, I saw the goodness of God, and then I turn to the Lord. Paul here writes, not knowing the goodness of the Lord. That is our natural way, all of us. There is none, God says, that seeketh. There's none that understandeth. There's none that do good. And if we did see that as we should, it would be good. But we are told here, not knowing. And the first thing we have to learn is that we do not know, that we did not know. And then that we can be taught, as Christ said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We mentioned last week that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And that is true. That is Scripture. And that will especially come out in the next chapters. But here we read, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. God will render to every man according to his deeds. He will give eternal life to those who do what's stated here in the seventh verse. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. When the Lord Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, once he used the word eternal life, once he used the word everlasting life. That was there, then, promised in believing. And that is the way it is fulfilled. But here it is promised. It is stated. It is open. I repeat again that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. But that doesn't mean that the way of the law is closed. It doesn't mean that God wouldn't accept it if we did his law as we should. We see that both in God's word to Israel in Ezekiel. We read that the people aren't content in the way of God, and especially by his law. We read in Ezekiel 33, yet the children of Israel say, the way of the Lord is not equal, not fair, but for them, their way is not equal. It's not God's wrong way that we want into the kingdom of God by the law. It's our own wrong way. God tells us if we keep the law, if we do it, and we'll see it a little bit later from the teaching of Christ directly to those who came to him. But here in Ezekiel we read, chapter 33, verse 14, again I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he have robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. If he does this, he will not receive the wages of sin which is death. Or, as we also read, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This way is open, open to you and me, as well as it was then in the time of Ezekiel. The wicked turn from his way. He shall surely live. We have the same teaching here in Romans 2, but also we have that teaching by Christ. We read in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But the way of God is open. Listen to what we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Listen carefully to the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's not just saying, what shall I do to have it better in this life? But he's asking about eternal life. Christ said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. The Lord Jesus said to him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. He won't be dead in sin? He won't die for his sin? If he does this, no reason to die. This do, and thou shalt live. Christ promise. But, like the rest of us, he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? He wanted a way out. And then we have the story of what we often call the story of the Good Samaritan. At the end of it, Christ said, go and do thou likewise. Love our neighbor as ourself. Also, Christ spoke, recorded in Matthew chapter 19, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Again, eternal life. A life never to end, not to be cut off for our sin. The Lord Jesus gave answer and said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Christ just used the word life, but it was an answer to his question of eternal life. And his answer was, keep the commandments. As I said, that is not ruled out. It's open. It was open there for him. It's open for Israel before Ezekiel. And it's open for you and me. Oft times we say God is not fair. And Ezekiel read he's not equal. Or he's not doing it in a fair way. After the Lord Jesus said, keep the commandments, he said, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? The Lord Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if we want the way of the law, it will have to be perfect. James says, if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. We have not loved God then. We have not obeyed God. But here he says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The way is open. The promise was there. Treasure in heaven. Thou wilt have life. But again, God did not fail, but man fails. The young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We read in one of the other Gospels that the Lord Jesus loved him. Yes, God is fair. God is long-suffering. God can say to us, not only through the Lord Jesus Christ, but through Paul, coming back to Romans chapter 2, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's there. It's there in the book of Romans, to the church. To the church that has learned the way of Christ. To the church that Paul wrote earlier, among whom also ye are called of Jesus Christ. They were the way already of faith. In chapter 5, we will read, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though this is open, none of them had it through themselves. Not one. Not you or I either. if we were doing good in continuance, if we would do good, seeking glory and honor, immortality, rightly, according to God's word, we would have eternal life. I'm afraid there's some who think they have it that way, who do not believe in salvation by faith alone or by grace alone. Some believe that they can have salvation by works alone. Some believe they can have salvation by a combination of works and faith. It is true that every child of God has both works and faith, but not works for salvation. Only works because of salvation. Only works after salvation through Christ. It only begins with Him who said, without me you can do nothing. Nothing before we have Christ. He is the vine and we are the branches. As Paul said to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When God has worked in us, we can work it out. But He will work in us repentance. We will learn what's in the next chapter. I've repeated it before. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We learn that in the third chapter particularly. And then we learn, as Paul says, but now, after we've learned we haven't done it by the law, after we've learned we are guilty by the law, after we've learned to be still and listen, Paul writing, every mouth be stopped, then, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we must know. That's the message for the church, in the church, and from the church to the world, and that alone. And we need to come back to that in a clearer way, in a fuller way. Going on here in this third chapter, Paul addresses what we really are. There's none in verse 7, but we are in verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Is that true of the church? Yes. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he described them and said, children of wrath, even as others. Some did not want to acknowledge that. Some want to say, well, that was a church of the Gentiles. That's really not us, especially when they have what is sometimes called covenant teaching. It was true of Judaism. They thought they were children of Abraham and that they weren't like the Gentiles. And in some outward ways, there was a difference. But remember how John the Baptist talked. And some want to say, well, he talked differently to the scribes and Pharisees. He called them a generation of vipers. And some would say, well, he addressed them. True. In one gospel, we read when he saw the scribes and Pharisees, he says, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee for the wrath to come. But in one of the other gospels, and send both, Matthew and Luke, it says, when he saw the multitude, everybody, he said, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Christ often divides the group and the multitude by scribes and Pharisees and then the publicans. He said, further into his ministry, the publicans, when they heard John the Baptist, they repented. And then the Lord Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, but you repented not afterward, when you saw it, when you knew it. So those who were the worst outward sinners repent first and had righteousness, the righteousness of eternal life. They heard John not only say generation of vipers, but they would know then they needed an answer. And John's answer was, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The whole world needs it. Everyone in it. None righteous, no, not one. Not you, not me, not anybody else either. not the scribes or Pharisees, not the publicans, not the soldiers. They all had the same message from John. They all had the same message from Christ, and they all received the same message from Paul here in the church as well as in the world. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. And then coming back again in the 10th verse to the right way. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There are actually those today who call it the new perspective of Paul. They say, well, Paul also teaches like James. He teaches a righteousness by works. He does teach that there is a righteousness by works if we did them. But Paul doesn't teach that anybody did that. Paul teaches plainly and asks the question in the next chapter, are we better than they? In no wise, where we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one by the law, even though the way is wide open. And it's wide open not only and say, well, I didn't know that earlier. By Ezekiel, he is saying to the wicked, stop your wicked ways right now, and your old sins won't be remembered. So good and so long-suffering God is. He says, start now. It's open. Do it, and you'll have life. Yes, that's God's teaching. But man doesn't believe it. And going back, sadly, to the 4th verse, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Every one of us, in the world and in the church, need to be called to repentance. In my older age, having had conversion 60 years ago, I still need repentance. Repentance and thinking of my sin of the past. Repentance of sins that are still there today. None of us do the law. The law states, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, all the time, all, and your neighbor as yourself. Have we done it? No. Will we ever do it? No. Only in heaven, then things will be perfect. No sin, no more. But now on earth, even Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. We need to know that. And then he could say, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And if we don't know we're a sinner, it's hopeless. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And sadly, sinners in the church today also need repentance. Let's repent together, and then be a salt and a light for the rest of the nation and every nation.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.